Support for the Alaska Live series of live music and conversation on KUAC is made possible by a grant from Design Alaska. Design Alaska, architecture and engineering for the new frontier. I'm Alaska Live host Lori Neufeld, and it is my great honor to welcome Brian Lewis and the young artists Matthew Ho and Iris Shepherd as my guests today. And Dr. Brian Hall is also joining us here from UAF's String Music Professionals. Ah, so nice to have both the Brians here and our accompanist and our young artists.
Great. Well, thank you very much for having us. We're very much looking forward to be parting of Alaska Live today.
Yay. And so we have, it looks like both Iris and Matt. Iris is maybe going to be the one starting us off with a piece. Brian, do we know what we've got?
Oh, absolutely. Iris Shepherd is from Tennessee, and we'll get a chance to talk to her a little bit later.
Yeah.
She's going to be playing the Paganini Violin Concerto No. 1. And she'll be just doing an excerpt, probably 3 or 4 minutes excerpt, because the whole piece is about 15 minutes. So this is the Paganini Concerto No. 1, the first movement, with Pamela Pyle playing with her on the piano.
Great.
Thank you.
Shepherd, that was an amazing rendition of that Paganini piece.
Thank you so much.
And I can absolutely see why you wanted to play the abbreviated version of that, because that's a workout, Iris.
It is definitely.
And Paganini was known for his simplistic writing, correct?
No.
His melodic writing is more simplistic, but yeah, this is, he was rumored to have sold his soul to the devil, which of course is not true, but he was a good marketer, so if that got people to the concert, well, he was fine with that. But yes, this is fiendishly difficult.
Iris, who picked this piece for you to perform?
So me and my teacher. My teacher is Connie Hurd. She teaches at Vanderbilt. And she gave me a list of songs, and this was my favorite, so I wanted to play this one.
Do you like to challenge yourself often?
I do.
Oh.
Good answer.
Yeah. So, Brian, when Iris came to the 2 weeks of intensive training, she already had this Paganini piece picked out?
Right. The young artists that are here, we have 10 young artists from across the United States, including one here from Fairbanks.
Yeah.
Jonathan Swank, which some of your listeners may know. The young artists arrive with repertoire that they have been working on, and our job when they're here, they have a wonderful opportunity, of course, to do really high polish level work, as well as get to rehearse a lot and to play with piano, because of course, that's a great preparation for standing up playing with the Fairbanks Symphony. And they get a real gift as they get to have their lessons in that hall, in Davis Hall. So they're used to the acoustic. It's a very comfortable situation for them. Dr. Hall is concertmaster of the orchestra. Of course, he's one of our valued faculty members in BLYAP as well.
I have been walking past the Davis Concert Hall a bit and backstage sometimes. I've been lurking back there just a little bit to eavesdrop on you and your lessons. Not too much to be creepy, but yeah, I have. And you're an amazing teacher. And to be on that Davis Concert Hall stage with these young artists must be very satisfying, too.
It always is very gratifying because these are, being a musician like they are at such a young age is very rarefied. We take it for granted because these kids play so well. But out in the general world, you guys are all considered, you know, these child prodigies that bring that type of work ethic to what they do. So it is really great fun for us. We do work. I wish they didn't call it playing the violin as opposed to working the violin. Because playing just sounds like, oh, we have a good time just playing, only doing
I've
that.
I've never thought of it that way.
Well, thank you. They spend many, many hours practicing. So they have 4 hours of lessons and rehearsals every day. Mm-hmm. And then they go in and do 4 to 5 hours every day. So this is a very intense time for them. But they're very much up to the challenge. Young artists like this are very interested in all of the detail work that goes on to make a really first-class performance. So it always is our pleasure to play for it. Pamela and I really actually have a really great time working together with these young artists on their concerti.
Iris, thank you so much for being one of the young artists that is doing this Alaska Live radio appearance, too, because, you know, you have to play tonight, you play tomorrow night, you play Friday night, and you're practicing all day. Is this your first radio appearance?
It is, and I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, you seem like a natural already.
Thank you.
Yeah. This is not your first time in Fairbanks, though.
It is not. I actually have been here. I came to this camp last year, and I loved it so much, I just had to come back again.
And how does that work when you've already made it here once? How do you apply to be a young artist again with this program?
So you send in, is it three videos? A Bach, a concerto, and a showpiece. And so you send those in, and then they will pick 10 artists out of those videos. And then you get to come here and get all the amazing lessons.
And to be in Alaska, in Fairbanks, under the midnight sun.
It is so much amazing. It's so much fun.
Because where do you call home?
I live in Paris, Tennessee, about 2 hours away from Nashville.
Great. Wow, the home of music there in Nashville. Nashville Symphony Orchestra is a really wonderful
orchestra.
Do you get a chance to take that in sometimes?
I do. I go there several times every year.
Is it your dream one day to play with them?
It is.
Yeah.
It definitely is.
Well, dreams are coming true with playing with the Fairbanks Symphony Orchestra. Mm-hmm. That happens on Friday night, just open to the public, too. So come see these amazing artists with the Fairbanks Symphony Orchestra. Open to the public, 7 o'clock on Davis Concert Hall stage. And what a time that will be. What piece are you playing on Friday night?
I will be playing the piece that I just played, the Paganini, except I will be playing all of it.
And you will be playing it with the full Fairbanks Symphony Orchestra.
Yes.
With Maestro Zilberkant. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Well, thank you, Iris.
We're
going
to
talk to Matthew a bit, too. He is here also with the young artists. Hey, Matthew. Matthew Ho, where do you call home?
I come from Dallas, Texas.
Right on.
Yes.
There we go. All right. And is this your first time in Fairbanks with this?
Yes, this is. This is my first time.
What piece did you send in as your video showpiece? Do you remember?
Video showpiece.
What are you about to play here?
Oh, is this?
I am about to play the third movement of Tchaikovsky's concerto.
Is that what got you into this program?
That was one of my videos that I did send in. Yes.
Excellent.
I watched them all. Thank you.
Brian Lewis, you are tasked with heading up this program. You are the artistic director, and you have to watch every submission.
Yes, and that's the way one should, of course.
Of course.
What's wonderful about this program is that it is completely underwritten by a foundation. So all of these young artists are attending for no cost to them. They, of course, need to pay airfare to Alaska. And as you know, that's not this. That's not like just doing a puddle jump from Austin to Dallas. But they covered their own housing as well. But this is all underwritten by the Starling Foundation that's located in Texas. If you divided it all up between all of those 10 young artists I needed to pay, it would be about $8,500 per student, because that's what it costs to actually run this. So we are very, very grateful to a foundation that has the vision for advancing violin in the United States.
And you've been running this program for young violinists here for 12 years.
12 years. And so for 10 years, we did this program in a small city outside of Kansas City named Ottawa, Kansas. Look, I'm from Ottawa, Canada, and you're from Paris, France, right? So Paris, Tennessee, and Ottawa, Kansas. Okay, so
I'm also from Kansas. And so, yes, but I had a friend who was from Versailles, Missouri. I am not kidding.
Well,
they say Versailles.
Versailles. But Matthew has been somebody who has been in the program before, just not in the Fairbanks edition of this. So I know Matthew and Iris for quite a bit of time, which is always great.
Well, congratulations, Matthew, for being a returning student in this great program. And
thank you. I'm honored. Yeah.
What do you think of Alaska so far?
Oh, it's been absolutely wonderful. I mean, every day I just walk out of the dorms and I appreciate the views, and just the air quality is just so different from
from Dallas.
Dallas.
We're hoping that the forest fires don't kick up because, you know, then it seems like you're sitting around in a campfire, which is kind of a neat thing for a couple minutes and then not so much. But, yeah, welcome to Fairbanks. Have you been getting enough sleep for your performances under the midnight sun?
At first it took a little bit of adjustment, but, yeah, I've been dealing okay with it, yeah.
Great. Well, let's jump right into what piece will you be playing? Or would you like Dr. Lewis to introduce? Which one of you would like
to
introduce?
Oh, I'll be happy to introduce so you can get ready to be doing the playing.
Nice.
Matthew and Pamela will be playing the third movement of the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto. This concerto, when it was written, was considered too difficult to play and was the person that it was dedicated to, a very famous teacher, said it was unplayable. So Tchaikovsky erased his name of the dedication at the top and put somebody else's name there. This is a concerto that is played by all the great violin players. It is a staple. I know that I've played it and Dr. Hall and Iris, have you learned this piece yet? Okay, good. That's on your to-do list. Paganini will help you do that very well. So we're going to do, an excerpt from this piece. It's a very exciting piece to hear with orchestra, all of the explosions that kind of go on in Tchaikovsky. So, Matthew, let's hear the third movement of the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto.
Matthew, that you got 4th of July fireworks that are not going to light a forest fire in here in the studio. That was amazing.
Thank you so much.
How long did it take you to work up this piece and, you know, hours of practicing approximately?
I have been working on this piece on and off for about a year now. So if we take a look at the hours...
Yeah.
Kind
of daily for a year? Or picking when it up I, every
yeah,
other day.
When I am working on the piece, yes, I do work on it daily, but I did also work on it on and off. So yeah. I did work on some other pieces in the meantime.
But probably it would be safe to say you probably have worked on this between 800 and 1,000 hours if you do the math for that. These pieces that these young artists are learning, this isn't a one-off for them. All of those that they're playing, Matthew will play this again, Iris will play Paganini again. You start to develop a real repertoire, and the first movement of the Tchaikovsky Concerto is as long as the second and third movements combined. So there is a huge chunk of work that happens in the first movement. And this is, I'm always happy myself when I get to the third movement because I'm like, yay! Because the first movement's like 18 pages long or some horrific length for us.
And
there.
Lots of ink on that page, right. I think. Oh, those 18 pages.
For sure.
Matthew, what's a... You've been in this young artists program in the past. What is it that you look forward to when you come here for these 2 weeks of intensive work?
Well, I mean, of course, there's the lessons and the rehearsals. You just learn so much in such a short amount of time. It's really incredible. Every time I go back to Dallas, I'm always so inspired, and I feel like, wow, I've learned so much in just 2 weeks. I wish I could do this all year long.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we can't. Yeah. I think also the friends you meet here are so important. I remember my first year, I still am in contact with some of those friends. And so you make such deep bonds with the people you have here. So
yeah.
It's really great.
I can imagine that, Matthew, you and Iris may be competing for the same first place one of these days in a competition. And can you see, you know, competing against some of your friends that you've made over these years?
Yes, yeah. I actually have seen them in competitions. Yes.
That has to be fun to be in the same place.
Yeah, and, although we're competing each other, it doesn't really seem like it sometimes. It's just more like greeting new friends, old friends, and... making new ones, too.
Yeah.
That's definitely a healthy way to look at that because truly these kids that are basically the same age will be going through their auditions at the same time. And it's good to know that you are a good colleague. Mm-hmm. And yes, of course, we want to get first prize. But it's also a great thing to be able to support those young artists and your friends and to always remember to be nice to the people on your way up because they're the same people you're going to meet on the way down, right?
Yes.
And so we try to really breed that here. I can say that this is a very wonderful group of 10 young artists that are not competing against each other. They're competing against themselves. And that's the type of work we want to keep going because ultimately the goal of competition is the work that you do for the preparation, not actually the prize. Now, of course, we would prefer that, right? But
yes.
That's not the only benefit from a competition. So I've been in competitions where it's, you know, that I've gotten first and a friend got second or they got first and I got second. And it's just really kind of cool that we're going through that event and that experience together. And because we were friends, you have a support system. You have a support system, which I think is very important.
And Brian Lewis, I think that that's a wonderful thing about this program that you've put together. It's not a competition you're hosting. You are hosting a instruction for these performances. And these performances go on tonight and Tuesday and Friday at the Davis Concert Hall. And you should come see these young, talented artists play violin. They are amazing. They've been working so hard.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I would remind everybody, all of these are free concerts,
yes.
You guys. So come, please, and bring your children. You know, if you think, oh, my child isn't able to sit through, you know, an hour and a half of a program. Come and hear two pieces. Come and hear one. Come and stay for the first half. There's so many great opportunities to expose our children and ourselves to the art. So if, you know, you've been doing the midnight run and you're tired and need a little place to sit down and enjoy it, it's also dark in the concert hall, too, which is a big plus.
And it's cool.
Well.
We've got conditioned air that is nice and cool in there.
It's really great. And, you know, it's rare that you can go hear so many great young artists with a really great symphony, great conductor, great concert master. So I do encourage you, come hear the Fairbanks Symphony with Meister Zilberkant. And Dr. Hall here is our concert master.
And that culminates on Friday night at 7.
It does,
7.
Friday night, 7 o'clock. And again, it is a free concert. So
wonderful.
And we do have free concerts tonight as well. Tonight is showpieces, so you'll see lots of pyrotechnics going on tonight. for violin and piano. And tomorrow night is sonatas, which is a real dialogue between the violin and the piano. And then we have rehearsals Wednesday night and Thursday night, which is why we don't have performances on those nights. That's when they rehearse with the orchestra.
How thrilling. And Brian Hall, thank you for joining us here and being a part of this amazing program.
Brian, thanks for having us.
Is this your first year? You've been doing this with Brian Lewis outside of Fairbanks even, right?
Yes. I was Brian Lewis's teaching assistant for the duration of my master's and my doctorate degree
in
at
Texas?
The University of Texas at Austin.
Hook 'em horns.
And when I accepted the gig there and I started seeing my teaching and stuff, then he was like, you know, why don't you come out to Kansas this summer? And I believe the first year was 2010. So I've been doing the program ever since 2010. It's been one of the most inspiring 2 weeks of my year. And it's just to see, you know, be with all my colleagues that are teaching fabulous pianists and violin teachers and then watching the new era of upcoming colleagues, and ever since I've been doing the program, some of our young artists have gone on to win major jobs, major competitions, a first prize in Menuhin, associate concertmaster in Minnesota, and New York Philharmonic section violin.
Impressive.
And these kids are under 18, so that just tells you I've been doing it for 10 years, and that tells you how successful they really are. And others go on to Yale. Some of them don't pursue music, but continue to be very successful people. So it's just wonderful to be surrounded by such excellence and such a gratitude.
And, Matthew Ho was saying that he really, what were you saying, that you love the inspiration that you got here for these 2 weeks.
Yes.
And I bet, Brian, you end up carrying some of that energy on into your fall semester and teaching.
Absolutely. I think it works both ways. What I do, here in the semester, helps me be better in the summer and vice versa. I do several programs, as does Brian. It's kind of part of our positions at, big universities are to go out and to reach out to as many communities as we can. Because then we can bring our experience back to our home campuses and vice versa. We can bring the consistency that we have in our home studios to help, build up the students that we get to work with in the summers.
Have you been working with Matthew and Iris during this 2 weeks?
Yes, I have. This year I did show pieces with both of them. They both are, Iris is playing the Vitali Chaconne, very beautiful piece, very kind of sweet sorrow kind of piece. It's got triumphant, but very melodramatic and kind of melancholy moments as well. And
sounds lovely. We'll hear that tonight on the stage.
Yes, 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. And then Matthew is playing this piece by Scriabin, a transcription by a famous violinist, Joseph Zaghetti. And it's a short little character piece. It's all in thirds, which is where he plays two notes at the same time through the entire piece.
Whoa!
It's also really a lot of fun. And I've worked with Iris before last year, and Matthews. What is this, your third, fourth
this
year?
This is my fourth year.
Fourth year.
Wow.
So it's been wonderful to watch him grow up, and he's always been a very good young man and just continues to develop.
Matthew, what's one of the best pieces of advice from Dr. Hall that you've gotten about playing a show piece on stage? Or worse pieces of advice that you're never going to use after this?
Well, definitely with the Scriabin etude in thirds, I mean, you can hear etude in the name. And a lot of people tend to take etude very literally, as in a sense it's just a study piece. It's not really music. It's just to exercise your fingers, maybe you could say. But what Dr. Hall really exposed me to is putting music into it. It's not just exercise to hurt your hand or get good at thirds. It's also a piece of music. So making it more of a character piece, not just thirds.
Oh, nice. I like that. And Iris, what about you? We'll put you on the spot to tell us about the best or worst piece of advice about your showpiece
I've
that you've gotten.
I've learned so much, honestly, from him. But one of the biggest things is to always have a character in mind when I'm playing and to make my transitions throughout the sections very smooth.
Mm.
And to lead the piano.
Oh, for the violinist, you to lead the piano.
Yes.
Interesting. Excellent advice. Yeah. It's so cool.
The violinists are standing out front, right? So they're mm-hmm. they're more like a traffic cop, right? To be sure everybody's breathing. Because if not, we have to turn around to the piano. So that's where that concept comes from of being able to show your pianist where to go. Because it's a team effort. And if we as the violinists don't breathe, then it's much more difficult for the pianist to feel comfortable. And we always want to do that.
Well, we must. Our pianist does have a voice also. So
exactly.
let's talk to Pamela and her actual voice here. I know we've put her on the spot. She's like, oh, here I am. Pamela, is this one of your many years coming to Fairbanks or being part of this?
I've been part of this for 12 years with Brian. And Brian and I have a long history. We started playing together. God, do we dare even figure it out? Well, let's just say it was a long time ago.
More than 30 years ago.
Decades.
I think I was actually predated you by 1 year. I was in Miss Lee's studio as a pianist. So she was a very well-known violin teacher historically. And Brian came to study with her. And we became fast friends immediately. So we've had a long history. We also work on the DeLay Symposium at Juilliard together. So it's a huge pleasure for me to be around Brian again.
And what's one of the delights you have as being the pianist for this young artist?
Well, you
program?
Know, I love music and these kids love music and they're just available to hear anything. I was remarking today that not one of them has a negative answer to something you suggest.
Right.
You know, they say, oh, how high? Let me try. Let me see what you think. And it doesn't mean they're not thinking, but they're so willing. I think if you have passion, it's contagious. They have passion. Mm-hmm. So for me, we're collaborating at the highest level. And it doesn't matter their age, right? The youngest ones or the oldest ones. So that's my thrill here.
Iris, has Pamela been spoiling you for any accompaniment that's to come in your life?
She has. She's so wonderful and she's so knowledgeable. She always knows what to do and how to do it.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Thanks for saying that, Iris.
I can tell. Matthew, what has been your experience here? Because you haven't played with the orchestra yet here, but you have played quite a bit with Pamela. What's been your experience?
I mean, it's been absolutely wonderful. I mean, they know so much about the part. I mean, they know inside and out, not just about their part, which to me is just so impressive. They know nearly every single detail about also the violin part, which kind of shocks me because they're pianists, aren't they? No, but they're
musicians.
Yes.
Five lines.
Yes. We collaborate.
Three lines,
yes.
Actually.
Yeah, that is amazing to me also. And you played, I know that radio listeners out there can only imagine what these young artists are doing here for an audience, but you play with such expressiveness. You move, and that Tchaikovsky piece is very expressive too. And so with your showpiece that you're going to play tonight, what's one of the things that you have to do having that accompaniment? What's the showpiece you're playing? Sibelius?
Scriabin. Scriabin. Thirds, yes.
Oh, yeah. And Dr. Hall was talking about that, the thirds.
Yes.
What, explain that one more time.
Okay, so thirds is an interval. And on the violin, normally we're playing one melodic line. But in the Scriabin Etude in Thirds, we're playing actually two lines at once. So it's playing on at the beginning, it's playing on the G and D string, both at the same time.
Would you mind doing that?
I was
that?
Just about
is that
to
okay?
ask, would you demonstrate that so that we can
we've got a little workshop going on here.
Talking about.
So, normally we're just playing one line. But in the Scriabin Etude in Thirds,
have to comment on your face. Your reaction to him.
That is so cool, Matthew, the way that you can make your own violin harmonize with itself. That yes. is, when did you learn that? How many years ago?
Actually, I just started working on this piece a couple of months, maybe 2 months ago.
Great. Wow. You must have put in a few hundred hours to get that down.
For sure.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm so glad we had that small little workshop. Right, thanks, sorry. Brian Lewis.
You're very welcome.
Yeah.
We're here to serve.
Yes.
And what you know, what's great about music, whether it's classical music or whether it's pop music, you don't have to know anything about music to enjoy it, right? When
true.
I was little, you know, Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, bum, 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 bum. I didn't know anything about what was going on, but I loved that voice. I just loved that. And so that's what's cool about it. So I would encourage people, don't be afraid of classical music.
It's not stuffy.
No, it absolutely, the program that they're playing is full of virtuosic pieces, as well as these concertos that these two fine young artists played. There are actually some show pieces that, you know, with that concert tonight, to be able to play show pieces with orchestral accompaniment is a really rare thing for them. It doesn't happen that often. And those are short pieces. They're, you know, 5-6 minutes long. I think Iris's piece is about 14, 15, depending. And then there's a monstrous cadenza in the middle of it that's another 4 minutes, I think. And Tchaikovsky's what? How long? 8-9 minutes? Okay, somewhere around there. So there, you know, you're not sitting through a 45-minute piece and you don't know what to do, or do you clap between movements and all of the things that sometimes people get caught up in when they go to a concert. We encourage you to come out and just experience it and enjoy it. You do not need to know about the violin to be amazed by the beauty of the writing for it. The two instruments that have the most repertoire are piano and violin.
Yeah.
I think piano probably has more. Do you think that's safe to say?
Yeah,
by a few thousand pieces probably. But, you know, there's so much written for the violin that these young artists could work and work their entire lives and only begin to scratch the surface of the amount. I mean, for example, like Vivaldi wrote more than 400 concertos, right? Not all for violin, but that could take you a couple of years to get through all just that. And that's just one composer. By the time you go on to others, there's so much other rep there too.
It's so funny. I have watched some YouTube pieces of you teaching, and that sounds like, oh, Lori, that could be kind of boring to watch. There's nothing boring about seeing you teach these young artists. You are animated. You are having fun. You're cracking jokes. You're dancing. You're, you know, your sense of humor is in it to win it.
I like that. I like that concept. Well, I always think that we are able to, as performers, absorb better when somebody's being in a positive way. That doesn't mean that we're coddling anybody. It's, you can say to a student, you know, that's better than it was last week. I'm not saying that was perfect. Mm-hmm. I'm saying you have done work, and I'm acknowledging that work. And Pamela and I are from the generation that not all teachers were the approach that we all have here. I have selected faculty members who believe in that ideal of doing work. And, you know, that doesn't mean all the time. Sometimes they need a bit of a kick in the pants and a little bit more, you're going to go do this. But it's better for them. I always think that the concept of motivation, fear and love are the same strength of motivator. Until you're no longer afraid of that person, then you lose that motivation. So ultimately, love is a much better way to go about the process, because it is a process. You know, sometimes I think these young artists, you know, we've got Tchaikovsky. Well, Matthew's going to play that all his life, right? And Iris is going to play Paganini all her life. And it could be 10 years from now. It could be 5 years from now. You never know. But an orchestra like the Fairbanks Symphony or Nashville or the Dallas Symphony, Matthew, anybody that may do that, they're going to call up and say, great, we'd like to play Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto. The soloist doesn't get to choose generally, particularly when you're young. When you get older, you have a little bit more. Because you'll start to know the conductors, and they're like, Matthew, what do you want to play this year?
Wow.
As opposed to, you know what, this is what goes with our program. I want to hear Tchaikovsky. Or this is what goes well with the Rossini Overture. Let's hear the Paganini Violin Concerto.
What's one of the funniest things that Brian Lewis has taught you?
Oh, my.
Because he's really animated, and these things would stick in my mind, I would, you know, because he's just absolutely cracking jokes, but in a way that is in a learning environment.
Exactly. That's why, I mean, I've come back to this program for my fourth time. That's why I absolutely love coming here. I mean, not only just Mr. Lewis, but also all the other teachers. They're just so caring, and they truly have our best interests in mind. And I'm so appreciative of that.
And they treat you as responsible young adults. I mean,
yes.
You're kids, but they also treat you as absolutely responsible young adults. And I can see that. And it's lovely.
Thank you.
Yeah. Iris, do you remember a situation or a time that you've been like, oh my gosh, I'm going to remember that forever?
Well, there have been so many times, not even when he's just said something funny, but when he said something just so intelligent that it will stick in my mind like forever. I feel like all of the teachers here have so much knowledge in them that even if they were teaching me lessons for hours and hours on end, I would still never learn everything that they knew because they're so knowledgeable.
Question, do we get these lessons videotaped so you can go back and watch them over and over?
So some of us videotape our lessons. Mm-hmm. I personally like to audio tape my lessons because it doesn't take as much storage
up.
And it's so nice. And we also take notes at the end of each
handwritten
lesson.
Handwritten notes? Is that a thing still for you guys?
So we can look back several years and still have notes of what we went over in our lessons, which is so nice.
Absolutely. And I am an audiophile. I love radio as a medium. And, you know, you can listen to that as you're doing something else. You cannot watch something mm-hmm. as you're driving or doing the dishes or whatever, but you can absolutely listen to things while you're doing
something else. I agree.
Yeah. Oh, Iris, that's so neat. And the fact that you actually take handwritten notes still mm-hmm. makes me feel like writing is not a dying art.
Yay. I'm glad to hear that because that is something that we want them to encourage to do. So if these guys, you guys are, how old are you guys?
I am 16.
And I'm 14.
Okay. So you have another 70 years in your career. Violinists tend to play long. So you will be glad that you wrote this stuff down, even when you get to be my age, you guys, because then you can go back and look at it for reference. So that's one of the things that we do talk to them about is write things down because it's hard to remember. It's hard to remember, oh, that was said to me 30 years ago. I kept really great journals from my teacher, Dorothy DeLay, and it has been really helpful to go back and find these. They're very densely written, but to be able to find that information for all forever is good.
Just a warning, MP3s will be out of date in 70 years, but a pencil and paper, I'm thinking, will still be around.
We're hoping.
We hope so, too.
Oh, goodness. Brian Hall, Dr. Hall. So you don't get your whole summer off. Is this a treat during your summer to be able to be a part of this program and on the Davis Concert Hall stage again with these folks?
Absolutely. You know, I think early on when I was studying in high school, I think one of my conductors said, there is no vacation for a musician. So I think, you know, that sounds maybe not always a good thing, but it actually is really refreshing to get to work in, you know, like I said, other environments. And then, you know, also have, you know, my teacher, Brian, and all my other colleagues and stuff from my past get to meet my colleagues here and work here is a really, I can't tell you how fun and how really lovely that is, you know, to get to connect people in different parts of your life. And then, you know, that's kind of how I think the kind of summer festival, you know, grind is that you get to connect with all these people. You know, I think career is not as like we always think it's like something out there, but really I think a career is just establishing niches and then returning to those niches and continue to grow them. So that you have, you know, your people in Texas or New Mexico or, you know, Idaho or wherever you go and to continue to flower those relationships and to work on that garden. And, mm-hmm. and when you have the opportunity like we do here to put them together, it's really a privilege. Yeah.
And showing off Fairbanks and what Fairbanks has to offer is a lot of fun, I know, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a great privilege to get to plug my friends here and the world and my community here and the wonderful things that we do here and how dedicated my friends are it's hard to come by. It's really hard to have people that are so when you're like, hey, I want to do something, and then everybody jumps on board. And you know, even Dr. Solaire, who's our vocal faculty, is not involved in the instrumental program, but she still came and she cooked salmon and made a wonderful dinner for all the faculty.
We love her.
Why am I not surprised that Janelle is right there?
Yeah, I was right there having my back and making sure they have everything they need to. And that's actually rare. You know, a lot of times, in academia, academic communities, things can get separated. But here, we're very connected. We work hard for each other, and we try to be there for each other. So it makes it gives a great opportunity to bring such a fabulous program here.
That's great, and I know that from at least Matthew's bio that it's not all work with the violin. I know that he said you love to read. And I saw something about doing triple axels on the ice rink.
Matthew is a competitive figure skater in Texas.
And I can only imagine when faced with Matthew as a five-year-old, do you want to go out and play soccer with your friends in 105-degree heat, or would you like to go to the ice skating rink?
Yes, that was actually why I did start. I did not like the heat, so my mom would just drop me off at the local rink at the mall. So that was easier for her. Yeah, easier for her, easier for me.
They still have ice skating rinks at the mall in Texas? They used to.
Yes.
Yeah, they do now.
They used to. They did close in the one, unfortunately, that I did start in. But yes, there are actually quite a few ice rinks in Texas, surprisingly. And there's quite a few strong rising skaters.
That's amazing. And so you got started skating when you were young, as is you did violin.
Yes.
Oh.
I started violin when I was around 4, and I started skating. Oh my, I started skating more seriously in first grade, but I kind of did it for fun before, yes.
And what is your favorite? Are you doing pair skating or is
it
solo?
I actually do both. I do singles and I do pairs, so I do both.
And do you choose classical music to skate to, or do you choose some pop music sometimes?
I'm sorry to say, Mr. Lewis, but I actually tend to choose movie music. That's not always pop music, but there's also like movie music for orchestra too. So I tend to skate to those types of music. Yeah.
Well, some people say they don't like classical music, and then you ask them if they like the soundtrack to Star Wars, and they're like, "Oh, I love that." So,
orchestra baby, that's what it is.
I've got news for you. You like classical music.
Exactly.
Oh, that's really cool that it's literally cool that you, skate. And have you been over to the Patty Center to do some skating since you've been here? It's all been about the violin.
I've been quite busy with the violin part, so no, I have not.
He needs to stay in practice.
Yep.
Iris, when we can't find you with your violin, what do we find you doing?
So I enjoy taking long walks, and I also love science.
Right on. I can see that because math, science, and music all are kind of part of the same connections in your brain. Is that true?
I think so,
I think so, yeah. So what part of science?
I honestly enjoy it all. I don't have a specific area that I love the most.
I like plants and animals a lot. I like the flora and the fauna. Have you been enjoying some of that here in Alaska?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's great about this, we always on the weekends, they work so hard. During the week, we always go somewhere. Last year, we went out to Denali, took the train up there, did a little bit of hiking, and then we were on the Chena River yesterday. And that was really great to see, you know, the dogs with the dog mushing and the planes and going to the village to see how things were. so many years ago here has been really inspiring and a very nice change of pace. You know, you can't do that in Texas.
That's right.
So it's nice to be able to be in a place where we can appreciate nature and see even to be inspired by it, because so many composers were inspired by nature. So it's great to be at a place where there you are just have an abundance of beauty here.
Iris, you must come back in the wintertime.
I have been here in the wintertime, actually. My dad used to run a camp here, and he brought me once in the wintertime in February. Mm. And it was so beautiful with all the snow, but it was a bit chilly for me.
Sure. You got to make sure you have gloves. And if it's really cold, don't be afraid to use those hand warmers.
Yes, I use those all the time.
Nice. Good. I'm glad to hear that, because it's so important. And then back at the hotel, you've got to leave the shower running on hot for your violin.
Yeah. Can't plug it in like you do the car, right?
No, that's right. That's a tip from Zuel Bailey, the cellist.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, this is just wonderful to have you here. Brian Lewis, tell us about the programs you have going tonight, tomorrow, and especially about Friday.
Sure. Well, tonight, it's all of these concerts are at 7 o'clock in Davis Hara here on the campus.
And free parking, let me tell you, after 5.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. I love that. Okay. The free concert, free parking. What are you doing? Let's get to these concerts. So tonight, we're going to be hearing pieces like that Scriabin Etude in Thirds. Mm-hmm. We're going to get a chance to hear that and a bunch of other work. So all young artists play on all of the programs. And tonight's a wonderful program. It's got lots of fire to it. We also have an intermission, I believe, yeah. So, excellent. You know, if you've got kids and they're ready to go, that's great. And then tomorrow night we have sonatas, which are a real important part with the piano. The piano is, quote unquote, not accompanying. They are an equal part, if not even more important, because Mozart and Beethoven wrote them not for violin and piano, but for piano and violin. So that is tomorrow night, sonatas. And then on Friday, again at 7 o'clock, on June 29th in Davis Concert Hall, you'll get a chance to hear pieces like the Tchaikovsky and the Paganini Violin Concerto that we started our program with. So it's a great opportunity to explore music and to really come support and see the power of youth, what our youth are really possible and being able to do. I think in this day and age, we concentrate on so much of the negative. It's so good to come and see what a positive outcome life can be for you if you are dedicated and work hard. And so I would invite everybody to come to the concerts.
And it's not often that the Fairbanks Symphony Orchestra plays for the public and that there's no charge for that.
Right, exactly.
And so that's a big deal.
Art is not free. We
yeah,
need
that's
to know
right.
that. But because of this grant, we and the people, the symphony is really sponsoring our ability to be here. So it's a great opportunity for them. And because the grant is under them, then the musicians still get paid, of course, because you need to earn a living. To be able to do that. But then we can then allow people just to come in and do that. So we encourage you to come to these free concerts.
Oh, that's beautiful. And that's this Friday, June 28th at 7 at Davis Concert Hall with all 10 of the Brian Lewis Young Artist Program artists in residence here, and they're playing with the Fairbanks Symphony Orchestra, and that's just going to be a wonderful concert. And we heard just a few excerpts from that played by Iris Shepherd today and Matthew Ho today on KUAC's Alaska Live, and those were amazing. Oh my goodness. Thank you all for being here and a part of today's performance.
Thank you. It's our pleasure, and thank you for having us, and thank you guys for listening to Alaska Live. We hope you tune in regularly to hear the wonderful commentary. Public radio is certainly an important part of life. I know I listen to it when I drive in Austin because, yes, you can't be watching and listening. And it's just great to stimulate your ears as well.
You've got
KUT thank you for what
with
you
there
here.
All the time. Yes,
KUT.
Iris, really lovely. Best wishes tonight for your performance and Tuesday and particularly Friday when you step up to Davis Concert Hall stage with the Fairbanks Symphony Orchestra.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Matthew Ho, it was my pleasure to have you here on today's Alaska Live.
Thank you. It's my honor.
Pamela, thank you so much for being here with the piano. Brian Hall, it was a pleasure to have you here. Come on back to Alaska Live.
You know where to find me.
Right on. And Brian Lewis, thank you for having this program in Fairbanks.
Well, it's my pleasure, and it's been really fun to see how the community does come out and support the arts in general here. And I think that's such a wonderful thing. You can judge the health of a community by how healthy their arts programs are.
Well, I've been your host today. I'm Lori Neufeld for KUAC's Alaska Live. This is KUAC 89.9 FM Fairbanks. Support for the Alaska Live series of live music and conversation on KUAC is made possible by a grant from Design Alaska. Design Alaska, strengthening the community through support of the arts.